It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. The $2 trillion stimulus package is intended to help individuals and families and small and large businesses hit hard by the shutdowns that are a result of the coronavirus outbreak. Specifically, how might this relief impact the Pittsburgh area? Gus Fauché is the chief economist for the PNC Financial Services Group. Gus, what's your impression of the stimulus package as a whole?
I think it's a good start. We'll see if it's enough. It depends on how long these shutdowns last, how long consumers can't go out and spend. But certainly it helps households, it helps small businesses, it helps state and local governments. I think it will not prevent a recession. I think a recession is already underway, but it should support an economic recovery once we get through to the other side of this.
Families, individuals will be receiving grants. Could this also help local and state governments recover some lost tax revenue, especially if people actually have some money to spend?
Absolutely. One of the things that we're going to see is that states and localities will see a big drop in revenues. If we think about Pennsylvania or Allegheny County, they get a lot of revenues from sales taxes. With consumers not spending, their revenues are going to drop sharply. Without aid, they would be forced to either raise other taxes or cut spending. That would make any economic recovery weaker. So by replacing at least some of this lost revenue, that will support economic recovery once the initial outbreak is over and help some of these states and localities cover their additional costs because of the response.
And our friends and neighbors will have some money in the pocket to actually spend on some essentials.
That's right. So we're going to see tax rebates for households earning up to $100,000. That will hopefully replace some of the income that they've lost. We're also going to see extended and expanded unemployment insurance benefits, so that will help those workers who have been laid off as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak. Again, it's not going to do a whole lot to support consumer spending in the near term if people can't get out of their homes, but I think the expectation is that when things start to return to normal, that people will have some help from the government to make up for lost income, and that will support consumer spending and support an economic recovery.
Many small so-called non-essential businesses in our area have had a shutdown. Is a $100,000 no-interest loan enough to help them when they will have lost out on a couple of months of revenue?
We'll have to see. I think for the smallest businesses, that will at least help cover some of their costs. For more medium-sized businesses, perhaps it won't totally make up for it.
Would a grant have been more helpful?
Many of these loans are actually going to turn into grants. So if businesses take steps, for example, to continue to pay their workers, even if those workers are temporarily not working or pay rent and utilities, some of those loans will be turned into grants. And again, you know, perhaps we can revisit some of those issues later when we have a better sense of how bad this downturn is going to be.
Specifically, what kinds of businesses here in Pittsburgh might this help?
I think this is going to help all sorts of small and medium-sized businesses. So perhaps the restaurant down the street or your mom-and-pop retailer who are already under pressure because of the increasing prevalence of online sales.
What about the other kinds of shops, whether they're dry cleaners or tattoo shops, hair salons?
I mean, obviously people aren't going out and getting those services. Again, that these loans will help them at least not keep the lights on literally, but keep their employees so that they can continue to pay their employees while they don't have any customers. And then hopefully once we get through another month or two, they'll be able to reopen, rehire their employees. Those employees wouldn't have lost a paycheck and conditions can gradually return to normal.
Which businesses might not recover?
A lot of small businesses already are kind of on the edge. So if we think about, you know, restaurants often, some of them are successful, but many of them aren't. And this may be a death blow for some of those. In the traditional retailing industry, your brick and mortar retailing, a lot of those businesses were suffering because of online sales. Even with aid from the government, they may decide that it's not worth it. And so I think it's, you know, those more marginal businesses that were already a little stretched to begin with, even though they may get some aid, they may decide, hey, we just weren't really making it before, and this is kind of a death blow to us. And so it's going to be, I think, in particular, those smaller consumer-oriented businesses that were already operating on thin margins that may have less flexibility.
So what types of Pittsburgh businesses do you expect to have an easier time rebounding, if you can call it easier?
I think it's those businesses that are less dependent on what we call discretionary spending. So it's businesses where households have to make those purchases. It's kind of the more discretionary stuff, going out and splurging, going to to a movie, going to a restaurant. Now, they may get a quick rebound when things open up again and people want to go out and celebrate a little. But over the long run, if households have lower income because of this, if there are extended layoffs that weigh on consumer spending, it's kind of those more discretionary things that may have a greater difficulty in the second half of 2020 into 2021.
As I recall, Pittsburgh was not as hard hit in the 2008-2009 recession. What about this time around?
I think that's likely to be the case this time around as well. Pittsburgh is less exposed to some of the industries that are going to suffer from COVID-19 and in the public health response. So, for example, Pittsburgh's not a huge center for travel and tourism. Pittsburgh does have a lot of healthcare, and so certainly there's going to be stronger demand for that in the near term. Pittsburgh has a little bit less manufacturing as a share of total employment than the nation as a whole, and so we may have more people who can work from home and continue to do their jobs from home, and so that should be a relative positive. So it's not that Pittsburgh is going to escape this unscathed, but I think that the economic damage relatively could be less in Pittsburgh than it is nationally.
When the pandemic is controlled, whenever that is, how long do you think it'll take to recover economically?
I think we'll see a bounce back pretty quickly. I think that the aid that the federal government is providing will support a bounce back. So I am hopeful that when we get through this, and I am expecting a quite severe economic contraction in the near term, but once we start to see restrictions on movement lifted, that we will see a pretty solid economic rebound in the second half of 2020.
Are you concerned at all that we might try to get back to normal too quickly, and might that have its own negative effect?
Certainly, if we go through cycles where we send people back to work, we send consumers back out to buy things, and then we have to shut down again, I'm worried that that could cause severe damage, not just to incomes, but also to consumer confidence, and may make households less willing to spend, may make businesses less willing to invest. And so that could really harm the economic recovery. It could make long-run economic growth weaker, and so that could do real damage. I think we're much better off solving this problem as much as we can. I don't want to say once and for all, because there's always a possibility that something could happen again, but really getting a handle on it so that people feel confident and can go out and spend, that businesses feel confident and they can go out and invest without worry that this is going to pop up again.
Gus Fauché is the chief economist for the PNC Financial Services Group. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
I'm Kevin Gavin.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Megan Harris. About 650,000 Pennsylvanians have filed new unemployment claims since Governor Tom Wolf started shutting down businesses 2 weeks ago. It's shattered previous records, and it's right in line with every other state enforcing widespread restrictions to try and slow down the spread of coronavirus. Here to put those claims in context is Chris Bream. He's a regional economist with the University of Pittsburgh's Center for Social and Urban Research. Chris, welcome back to the show.
I'd say it's good to be here, but maybe not on this topic, but all good.
I hear that. So, Chris, we don't know Pittsburgh area numbers yet, but 650,000 is such an enormous number. How bad is this?
I think we're all grappling with the fact that we're talking sort of in an event and numbers that are sort of off any scale of what we've ever sort of dealt with in the short term. So the scale and the speed at which sort of people are being pushed into unemployment is not something we've sort of experienced in the past here or almost anywhere else.
Are we at the low yet, or is it going to get worse?
I think the longer the shutdown goes on, I think these numbers will get worse for sure. I think the numbers we're talking about today are really what are called unemployment claims. These are just reflecting folks who've been able to get in and ask for unemployment benefits to begin. A lot of folks are probably never experienced unemployment before. They probably don't even know how to do that, haven't gotten around to doing it. There are certainly a lot of folks who are probably being pushed into unemployment who may not even be eligible for various reasons. Up until the national bill that's being passed right now, I think, gig workers weren't necessarily covered. If you haven't been working long enough, you weren't covered. So there are folks who are going to be experiencing unemployment who aren't even eligible for unemployment benefits per se. So the numbers will get worse, especially if this continues.
There have been reports that people aren't getting through to even make their claims. I know our own Margaret J. Krause is looking to hear from people who've had trouble. You can reach her at mkrause@wesa.fm. But for those folks, they may show up in the next week or more of data. How did delays affect the filer? Like, how does that affect the unemployment process and how we see the data?
I'm sure there will be delays. I think one of the more remarkable things is that Pennsylvania is reporting one of the largest numbers of new claims in unemployment. And I think that might be a reflection of the fact that they've actually are being able to get folks into the system better than other states. So I don't know why we haven't even seen bigger jumps in other states that we know have also shut down at least as hard as Pennsylvania. So I would certainly encourage everyone to keep trying, and I think they'll work through it.
Which sectors are getting hit the hardest so far?
So I've only had a chance to look at here in Pittsburgh. I will look more at the state. I think the answer is pretty self-evident. I mean, the state's order for closing the physical locations of non-life-sustaining businesses, that clearly has shut down certainly accommodations, a large part of the full-service restaurants. It just goes across the board, really. I don't think there's any segment that's not being impacted, but there's certainly, where I work, education services, higher education, a lot of us are working at home, but clearly, almost everyone, there's very little activity in Oakland per se here in the city of Pittsburgh, because so much of that has been shut down, at least at our places of work.
Are there any sectors that you've looked at so far that you would say, at least for now, are immune to this, that they're, kind of weathering the storm well so far?
I know what I read and hear. I think it's pretty self-evident that, the shifts in, certainly our grocery stores and healthcare need more workers, but those are pretty small, I would say, compared to the overall scale of the job loss. I don't think it's like our grocery stores aren't going to make up for the loss of employment across the board. And certainly these are different types of jobs and pay differently as well. So
we're getting the information about this, the data, kind of in drips and drabs. When do you feel like you'll have a better idea of the scope of all of this?
I think it's a very dynamic situation. I think it's changing, day by day. So I don't think there's a question of getting to a point where we know better. I think it'll continue to change. And I defer to our public health friends and colleagues to sort of tell us how that's going to go. So I think it's going to be ongoing change every week, I think, until we sort of get through the worst of this. And then I think there'll certainly be a long-term story as there are sort of more significant shifts from whatever fallout. And some of those are getting pretty hard to predict. I wouldn't sort of do that right now, but we'll certainly be keeping track going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Chris Bream is a regional economist at Pitt Center for Social and Urban Research. Chris, thanks so much for making time.
Thank you.
I'm Megan Harris.
It's The Confluence. I'm Kevin Gavin. Like grocery store clerks and delivery drivers, home health care workers are considered essential during Pennsylvania's coronavirus lockdown. In this job, social distancing is impossible, and the people they work with are very vulnerable. Keystone Crossroads' Laura Benshoff reports on the growing industry in Pennsylvania that's walking a tightrope between taking care of others and not spreading the pandemic.
There aren't many jobs more hands-on than home health care. Nurse Dawn Pye is helping to change 24-year-old Jack Friedman's shirt.
All right, so remind me again, is it hands first or head first?
Head
first. You're a little different. We got to get this over your head, right?
Pye is with Friedman at his home in Chester County. He has a neuromuscular disease and a tube in his throat that makes him a little hard to understand. Under normal circumstances, even a cold could be dangerous for Friedman. His dad, Al, made this recording of his nightly routine, allowing me to keep my distance.
What do you think of Don's mask, Jack?
And I have.
Oh, first you wanted me not to wear it.
Pai now wears a mask and sanitizes anything she brings with her before getting near Friedman.
Why do you like it?
I know.
You don't like it, though. I see.
Safety and sanitation are a big deal for domestic care workers trying to keep from spreading the coronavirus. Home care like this is a big business. It's one of the fastest growing professions in Pennsylvania, where a large proportion of people are elderly. It encompasses everything from visits from skilled nurses to workers who help with the dishes. In normal times, these high touch and often low paid workers provide a critical link to the outside world. But now, they worry about their own health and whether they pose a risk to their clients.
I love working and helping people who, you know, cannot do for themselves.
Lolita Owens is a home care worker in Philadelphia. Between her two elderly patients, she can work anywhere from 40 to 60 hours a week. She says she has to do things that other people are avoiding right now, like taking public transportation.
It's scary, but that's the only way I'm going to get there, so I don't have a choice but to do it.
Like pretty much everyone else working in medicine at the moment, she's also worried about the shortage of protective equipment, like gloves and masks. Terry Henning is CEO of the Pennsylvania Home Care Association and says they're scrambling to get supplies, often the same ones that doctors and hospitals need.
We're working with the Hospital Association of Pennsylvania. We have shared the regional health coalitions with our members, but it's a real challenge and obviously a challenge for all.
As nursing homes and assisted living facilities have closed to visitors, there's also been some confusion about whether home care aides can enter the facilities during lockdown. Henning's association has asked the Pennsylvania Department of Health to make it clear to nursing homes that these workers should be let in.
It's a significant issue. You know, sometimes they really are life-critical services that are being provided, and we're just trying to do the best we can.
Fear and a sudden downturn in the economy have also cost some their jobs. Nicole Kligerman, director of the Pennsylvania Domestic Workers Alliance, says especially hard hit are the large number of home care aides who work more informally, often directly for an individual or family.
Almost everyone has lost all of their work. It's a lot of people.
Concern about bringing outsiders into the home is real for many right now. For Al Friedman, whose son Jack has needed round-the-clock care his entire life, this is an unprecedented moment.
Well, we've been scared for 24 years because of how fragile he is, and feel like we've been dodging bullets for a long time. This virus feels like we're dodging bullets from a machine gun.
That's because when battling a pandemic, the front line isn't at the hospital. It's wherever people are together. Laura Benshoff, Keystone Crossroads.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. A reminder to keep up to date on how the spread of the new coronavirus is affecting our region. Go to our coronavirus blog at WESA.FM. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Kylie Kozinski, and Megan Harris. Until next time, I'm Kevin Gavin. Please be safe, and I hope you have a good day of good news.